Everybody is committed to something, to either relationships or organizations, to causes or movements, or even to any isms, such as capitalism or today, environmentalism. The problem is that we often find ourselves committed to non-essentials, or worse, not committed to essentials in our lives. Remember the World War II generation, which Tom Brokaw, NBC anchor, called the greatest generation. One word to summarize them is commitment. We can see their commitments, whatever they are involved, families and workplaces and even churches. The next generations, baby boomers and Generation X and millennials, are known as generations with less or non-committal attitudes. From this societal change and trend of from commitment to non-commitment, in the past 50 years or so, American families, they say, suffer, and workplaces lose productivity, and society loses its strength. My sermons for the next three Sundays will revolve around one word, commitment. And we will examine to what or whom we ought to commit ourselves so that our family and our church and society may have a better future. As one says, where our commitment goes, there goes our family and church and society. And today is part one of three, and we are committed to Christ the Head. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, once said, I quote, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not whether they be clergymen or laymen. They alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven upon earth." I could not agree more with him. I can echo with him saying, give me 10 committed believers, then 1,000 non-committal or half-committed Christians, and our church and our families will be different. Oh, how I long to be part of committed Christians whose hearts are on fire for the Lord. God's word also affirms of what I just said. God, too, longs for his children whose hearts are fully committed to him, and his eyes, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, roam over the surface of the earth and look for those whose hearts are fully devoted to him. More than any other times in history, today's church needs believers whose hearts are fully committed to the Lord. By the way, don't ever think that God is so selfish and exacting and demanding to demand your one-sided devotion without giving his first. Before he asks us to do so, God is fully committed to you throughout your life and beyond. This is what he says, I will never leave you, I am with you forever. So the real question is this, do I really, ask yourself, do I really want to commit myself to the Lord? When you know what he has done for you, I'm sure you will. Is it really worth committing myself to? The answer is a resounding yes. Now Jesus talks about this, how worth our Lord is for us to commit ourselves to. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. In other words, every single thing you have, every single being of yours, worth of kingdom of heaven. Christ is worthy of our full commitment. Perhaps we should ask this way, whether we are worthy of Him. The rest of my sermon I'm going to devote on the two characteristics of committed Christians, committed believers in Christ. The first characteristic of committed believers is this: their hearts are full of the Lord. They desire, as John Wesley says, nothing but God. Imagine this, full, what I mean by full of the Lord is this. Imagine this, it's, you know, glass, half full, but you'd never call half full full. Full is to the brim. That's what their hearts, when you open their hearts, you see nothing but God in there. Everyone knows that when you talk about commitment, it's the heart issue, isn't it? Commitment comes from your heart. It begins and ends with your heart. You cannot or will not commit yourself to the Lord and anything else unless you love Him, unless you know Him personally, and unless your heart is given to Him first. God will not force you either to commit yourself to Him unless you really want to do so from your heart. This is a no-brainer. Our relationship with the Lord is a love relationship, isn't it? If you desire a full commitment to the Lord, you must begin with your heart. There is one person in the Bible whom God calls, He is after my own heart. Who's that? Anyone could take a guess? Yes, I heard someone named David. Surprisingly, he was the only person in the Bible God says, He is after my own heart. Even not Elijah, not even Moses, but David was. It was King David, and he demonstrated his second to none devotion and love for the Lord. He is our role model. Not because he was king, but because his heart was full of the Lord. We all know the story of David and Goliath, right? And one day, they just encountered with each other in the battlefield. When God heard David's public confession before the armies of the Philistines and before the armies of Israel, God was so proud of David that he granted David a miracle and a victory for the army of Israel. And listen to the scripture yourself. 1 Samuel chapter 17. By then, the Philistine, the Goliath, and David walking toward each other, okay, in the battlefield. The Philistine came on and approached David. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth, and ruddy, and with a handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" Because David was not carrying any sword at all. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." And then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I'll strike you down and remove your head from you. And I'll give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." When David was saying this, guess what? In the heavens, God and all these angels on their toes, "Oh, I wonder what he's going to say." Angels might have said, "Oh, goosebumps all over." So powerful, isn't it? Let me tell you, David's heart was full, not of himself, but of God that day. Recently, I examined my relationship with God, particularly my heart. It's a good thing that you go over once in a while. I realized that lately my attention and love has been given to other things and people in my life, that my heart was not full or complete with God. I must confess that I was not waking up in the morning, for example, with a loving thought of the Lord. Neither did I go to bed at night with a sweet confession of Jesus. Often in the morning, I would wake up with worries about life, At night, I would go to bed with a mind full of worldly thoughts and pleasures. So I repented for my lack of devotion to God. I asked God to restore my first love in my heart, because I do know heart is the center of my commitment to the Lord. That's the first characteristic. Their hearts are full of the Lord. The second characteristic of the committed Christians is this. They are consistent in keeping God's will. Once our heart is right with God, complete and full of God, and then we must maintain our loving commitment to Him by keeping His word. Do you want to keep strong your relationship with God? And then there is only one way to it. Obey His will. The Bible calls our relationship with God a covenant relationship. What is covenant? That's where the two parties come together, they agree on certain terms and abide in them. That's covenant relationship we have. The terms of the covenant we have with God are these. God is our God and we are His people. He is our Heavenly Father and we are His loving children. And God protects us and provides our needs, and in turn, we remain faithful to Him by worshiping and serving Him only. No other gods or idols. Now, when we talk about covenant relationship, we must beware of the lip service only. What is lip service? This is what I mean by lip service. Our mouth is so close to God, but our heart is so far away from Him. That's what the Bible says. We can confess our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in words only. However, when our deeds betray Him or dishonor Him, we all know that the relationship is going nowhere. Covenant relationship is only good when both parties faithfully keep their hearts, for us to keep God's commandments and for God to protect us and provide our needs. Committed believers are consistent in doing God's will. You know, Pauline says, we have a lengthy scripture lesson today. Indeed, I couldn't stop in the middle of it. If you summarize those, I bolded three sentences there. That's the summary of the whole passage there. Today's text shows us the true nature of our relationship with Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He is our head, it says, and we are His body. We belong to one body where Christ is the head, and you and I are members and the organs of the body. A body without the head is no good, and neither is a head without the body. We belong to each other and we are inseparable, right? The head makes the right decisions for the body, and all the members and organs of the body in turn obey the orders from the head. When this is properly done, the body remains healthy. However, when the order is broken, that is, one member or organ disobeys the head and does its own thing, which is a mutiny in the body, it brings chaos and even death to the body. What do you call that thing? We call it cancer. Cancer kills the entire body. As for you, are you a Christian? And then remember, you belong to Christ, the head. First six letter of a Christian is Christ. You belong to Christ, the head. You are committed to the head, which means you listen and obey Him every day like the body obeys the head. And I'll continue next Sunday.